Douglas Crook, Sunday PM, June 27th, 2010.
From time to time, I've been giving a series of lessons on how the Bible describes itself, the words that it uses. For the text of this series of lessons, we have been using Psalm 119, at least the first 8 verses of it anyway. But all through this psalm, you will see different phrases used to describe the Word of God, the revealed will of God. And with each of the different words that are used, we're given a little different aspect of the value and the worth of God's Word that He has revealed to us. And so we'll read these 8 verses again that we've been reading, and then we'll pick up the series where we left off last time. Psalm 119, and beginning at verse 1, as we read this, again, notice the different words that are used, the different phrases, to describe the same Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into Your commandments, I will praise You with uprightness of heart. When I learn Your righteous judgments, I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. These are the opening verses to this lengthy psalm. And the entire psalm praises the worth and the value of the revealed will of God, the Word, the Bible. In this church age, we find the blessings that are mentioned here in this psalm. We find the benefits of the Word of God as we know and study and understand and apply the revelation of the will of God for this church age that was given to the Apostle Paul. Paul's gospel can be described with the words that are used all throughout this psalm. And the worth of Paul's gospel is the same as described here in this psalm. Each, as I mentioned, each name, and I've in the study we're considering 10. There may actually be more that you could use, but 10 are very clearly stated throughout this psalm and even in the first 8 verses. I'll just give them to you again. Some of you probably already have them. I won't give the definitions again, but the Word of God is described as law, statutes, precepts, commandments, testimonies, the one we'll consider tonight, judgments. The 7th one is truth, word, way, righteousness. Those are the 10 that are readily seen throughout this psalm. Each one is describing the same Word of God, the same Bible, the same revelation of God's plan and purposes for us. But each one of them give us a little different flavor of why the Word of God is so important to us as His children, why it is so valuable. Each one sheds a little more light. It's like walking around a diamond that has many facets. As you go around, each one kind of pops out to you with different colors and shades, and each one in and of itself is beautiful, and it makes up the whole of that diamond. The 7th verse of Psalm 119 is where we find the word that we want to consider tonight, and that is, the Word of God is the righteous judgments. When I learn Your righteous judgments. Vines gives the definition of the Hebrew word that's translated judgments here. He gives it this way. He says it actually has 2 main senses. And as you make a study of this word throughout the Old Testament, you find both of these definitions, be the word used in both of these ways. The first one refers to the act of sitting as a judge, hearing a case, and rendering a proper verdict. So that's pretty much what our English understanding of judgment is. It is to hear, it's for a judge to hear a case, to render a verdict, then that is executed. The judge has the authority to make a determination, and then that determination, that judgment, has authority and will be executed. And this is how it's used throughout the Old Testament. It can also refer to the rights that are belong to someone. In other words, a judgment, often we think of the word judgment in a negative sense, and certainly that's how the world, you shouldn't be so judgmental. But this actually has a positive connotation for the believer in Jesus Christ when we think of God's righteous judgments toward his people. It's actually a good thing because it's the assurance of our legal rights as the children of God, as the sons of God. We'll look at that before we're done. But let's look at the first meaning, a righteous verdict. Now, in our last lesson, when we had when we studied the 119th Psalm, we considered the word testimony. The Word of God is a faithful testimony. It's true and it's reliable. The word judgment goes beyond that, beyond a truthful testimony, and it reveals the emphasis is that God's Word carries the full authority of the judge of heaven and earth. In other words, God's Word is the final verdict on all matters. In our court system, we have the Supreme Court justice, and you can go through the justice system all the way up to the Supreme Court. And then when it's all said and done, when those men and women make a verdict, that is the law of the land. That's it. It will be carried out. It will be executed. In the universe, it's God's Word that is the righteous judgment, the final verdict. Let's read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 about God's judgment on everything that has to do with his creation and specifically with the human race. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14. The preacher of Ecclesiastes, he was considering what life was all about. A lot of confusing issues for him, but he comes to a conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment. This is the same word in the Hebrew that we have in Psalm 119. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So there's a connection between the message from this morning and tonight. God's word is final because he, as God, is the only one who has the authority to declare what's good and evil. What's right, what's wrong. Everything and everyone will be judged according to his word. It is final. What God reveals to be his plan and purpose in the Bible is the final verdict. Man hears what the Bible has to say, and they say, well, I don't like that one. Can I have another one? No, you can't. His judgments are righteous, and they stand. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. This brings us back to Paul's gospel being also described as God's righteous judgment. It's not just an Old Testament term. It's not just an Old Testament theme. Paul's gospel is God's righteous verdict, his righteous judgment. In Romans 2 and verse 16 is one of those passages in the New Testament that echoes this aspect of the Word of God. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men, how is he going to do that? What's the standard? By Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, Paul says. And when he says my gospel, he's not talking as if he's the origin of the gospel, but simply the vessel of the gospel that he received directly from Jesus Christ. So the question that should be prominent on the lips of anyone who hears that, well, if Paul's gospel is the one that every human being is going to be judged by, then the question should be, what does Paul's gospel declare? What is the verdict? What is the judgment of Paul's gospel? Well, we'll look at a very brief outline, Romans 3:23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. This is a judgment of the Word of God. Romans 3:23. God judges that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a judgment. That's a verdict. And one that you can argue with it, you cannot agree with it, but that doesn't change the righteous judgment of the God of heaven and earth. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 8 through 13. I'm glad that that was not the only judgment of Paul's gospel. That every human being is condemned under sin as guilty of the and worthy of the wrath of God. But here is another judgment that's been handed down from the judge. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, that's a judgment of the Word of God. It's a verdict. And it's not a negative one. It's a very positive one. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad for the judgment of God. I'm glad that this declaration is going to be executed for all of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. I will never know the shame and the reproach of condemnation from the wrath of God, because I've already passed through the judgment of God. His wrath fell on Jesus Christ, and now I stand declared by the judge to be right. John 3 and verse 16, Paul's gospel is simply the expounding and the expanding of the message that Jesus announced during his earthly ministry. So John 3:16. Though this, of course, is from Jesus' own ministry, Paul's gospel includes John 3, and we'll read 16 through 18. Almost everybody is familiar with John 3:16, but not everybody is as familiar with the verses that follow. And there are a number of verdicts that are issued here that need to be understood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. That's a verdict. That's a judgment. But here's another one. He who does not believe is condemned already. He remains under the condemnation of the judge, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So that's the verdict that the lost need to hear, and they need to accept it and accept its authority. Even though the world does not accept the authority of these verdicts, it's not going to change the outcome. As we mentioned this morning, Jesus is going to come, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, and the sinner will know and acknowledge God as God, because His word is His righteous judgment. Even the believer needs to know and accept the word of God as the final authority, not from the judge, but from our Heavenly Father. Our Father's word is the last word. It should be. It should be acknowledged as that. It is. But it should be acknowledged as that by every believer. 2 Corinthians 5. This is why we need to know the word of God. This is why it's so important. Once again, Psalm 119 is extolling the worth and value of the Word of God, the benefits of knowing it and applying it. Here in 2 Corinthians 5, we find out that the believer's works will be judged by the judgment of God's Word. Just because you've accepted Jesus as your Savior doesn't mean that God no longer judges you. He does. He judges you by His word, which is His righteous judgment. It's not a condemning judgment, but it is the authority of your Father. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Therefore, we make it our aim, our ambition, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear, and He's writing to Christians here, He's writing to believers. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not the great white throne judgment that leads to eternal condemnation and separation. But this is the seat before Christ where the children of God will be judged to whether or not they receive reward or loss of reward. But all Christians, all believers, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. What's going to be the standard for that judgment? How is God going to determine whether our acts, what we did in this body, whether it was good or bad? Well, He's already given us the standard. And that standard is the revealed will of God. Paul's teaching, where he deals with all of the things that he deals with about what is acceptable in the life of the believer and what is not. What attitudes, what actions, what associations, what we do. All of those things are listed in Paul's gospel, and they are all God's righteous verdicts for His children. Genesis 18 and verse 25. This same word is used by Abraham in this passage. Is this how you look at the Bible? In all of your decisions and your actions and attitudes, do you consult the Bible? Or do you just act and react according to what you feel that day? Or what you think is right? If you understand that God's word is His righteous verdict and is the final authority for everything in our life, if you start with that understanding of the word of God, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the word of God first. And even whether you fully understand why God says what He says, you are still going to submit to that verdict, because you know when it's all said and done, whether I understand it or accept it or can explain it or like it, all said and done, it's still going to be what God said it's going to be. So many of God's people argue and argue with the Word of God. Yes, I know, Brother Doug, but when I go to the Word of God, I start out with an attitude. God, what you say, that's it. And there are times when I don't fully understand and can't fully explain, not even to my own satisfaction, let alone trying to explain it to anyone else. There are times when I just don't fully get it. But I'm still going to submit to it, because I know when it's all said and done, if I want to be right in the end, I need to, from the beginning, agree with God. Genesis 18:25, and this is what Abraham is saying here. God told Abraham what he was going to do. He was going to destroy an entire city, an entire area. And Abraham knew something about God. Abraham's called the friend of God. He knew something about how God did things and why God did things. He knew something about that. And so when God told him he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham thought to himself, that doesn't sound like God. That sounds, I know him to be a merciful God, a loving God. And Abraham was right. God is that. And so he didn't fully understand this verdict, this judgment that God handed down. But notice what he says. Far be it from you, Abraham talking to God, far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Well, you see, that's where Abraham made his mistake. He assumed there were righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. So that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. God, that's not like you. But this statement, though it is still part of his questioning, it is still a statement of faith. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That word that's translated right is the exact same word that's used in Hebrews Psalm 119 to describe the word of God. Shall not the judge of all the earth bring about the right verdict? And of course, the answer to that is yes, he always will. And his verdict, even though you don't like it and you want to argue with it, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be done. So if you want to be right in the end, start by looking to the Word of God for instruction. And a good example of why that's necessary and why it's valuable to see God's Word as his righteous judgment. If you're going to build an addition to your home, for example, it's a smart thing. It's a prudent thing to check the building codes and the building restrictions before you begin. Because if you just start building anything and everything on the side of your house, the inspector's going to come along, because your neighbor's going to call, and the inspector's going to come along and say, you know, that's got to come down because it's not according to the code. That's not allowed. That's restricted what you're trying to do there. You've got to tear it down. But I've put a lot of time and effort and money in all of this. And look, I like it. It's pretty. Tear it down. Do you see how valuable and important it is to know the verdict before you ever start? 1 Corinthians 3, that's not just a simple analogy, it's part of Paul's gospel. 1 Corinthians 3. Do you realize many of God's people are wasting their entire life? And that when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the verdict is going to be, none of that stands. None of that, of what you dedicated your time and energy and money in, none of it has any eternal value. It's gone. It's coming down. Saints, life is short and life is difficult. I don't want to waste my life. I want to spend it building something that is going to last for eternity. And if I'm going to do that, I need to see the Word of God as His judgment, His verdict, that's always right and always good. 1 Corinthians 3:11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You can't even begin to build anything that has eternal value in your life until you accept Jesus as your Savior. He is the foundation. Without that foundation, you don't have a hope of eternity, not in the presence of God and His blessing. But building on that foundation, the Christian has a choice of what kind of material he's going to use. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, those are valuable things that will last. But the other kind of choice that you have are things like wood, hay, and stubble that are so flammable and perish so quickly and have no strength to stand. Each one's work, each one's life, what you used to build your life, to direct your life, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. Do you see the subject here? We're talking about Christians now that will spend eternity in heaven. Not because they did anything of themselves, not because they earned their salvation, but because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they're even considered here. But those Christians, those believers, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and those who build with the right material will receive a reward. But if anyone's work, if any Christian's work is burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. God's word is his verdict. If he says we're to occupy in certain things and we're to abstain from certain things, that's how we need to start living our life. Check with the court record. Go to Paul's gospel. Study it. Know it. And then every aspect of your life yield to his word. Quickly, the second definition to this word. It refers to the court-sanctioned rights of an individual. Psalm 7, verses 10 and 11 give us this thought. Psalm chapter 7, verse 10. Different translations give both flavors of the meaning of this word. In the King James, I'll read it in the King James Version first, because in the King James, it emphasizes this aspect, this definition, this second definition. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean? He judges the righteous. That sounds negative. No, it's a good thing. It's the same thought as my defense is of God, which saves the upright in heart. It's his judgment that makes that verdict, that brings protection. And God is angry with the wicked every day. That's the opposite. And then in the New King James, it reads this way. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart, and God is a just judge. So here, the New King James prefers the first definition, but either one of them, both of them, are actually correct. God gives the verdict of how the righteous are to live, and God also declares that his protection and provision is on those that are righteous. Psalm 10, verses 16 and 18. Once again, we as God's children should not be afraid of the judgment of God. I'm glad for God's judgment, because for me, as his child, and as I continue to live by faith in the fear of the Lord, his judgment will be my protection. It will be my provision for everything I need in life, because the judge said, this belongs to Doug. Psalm 10:16. The Lord is king forever and ever. Again, the sovereignty of his word. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. What's he going to hear? What's he going to do when he hears? To do justice. And this word justice is the same word in Psalm 119. So it's the same thought. To do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. Is that a negative thing for the fatherless? Is God going to express himself in a negative way to the fatherless? No, it's a positive statement. That the man of the earth may oppress no more. These are not harsh, negative verdicts for those who fear God. When you come to his word and respect it as his righteous judgment. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we'll read the six verses here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is a psalm of praise. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. All of that sounds pretty good to me, doesn't it, you? Isn't that positive things? Well, notice now how all of those things are described. The Lord executes righteousness and justice, same word, judgment, and executes justice for all who are oppressed. Like the psalmist, I rejoice in the judgments of the Word of God. And when I say I rejoice at the judgments of God, his Word doesn't always feel good. The conviction of the Holy Spirit when I have ignored or rebelled against God's instruction for my life, the righteous judgment of God doesn't always feel good. But when I surrender to God's word, and if I have failed, I repent, then that leads to a restoration of fellowship and all of those glorious benefits that are promised the children of God who live by faith. In John chapter 1, let's look at some of the declarations that we can, some of the verdicts that spell out our rights as the children of God. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Jesus, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power, the authority, the legal right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. God himself made this verdict, that all who receive Jesus Christ have the right to be called the children of God. That's a righteous verdict, a righteous judgment. Romans 8, verses 15 to 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if, conditional, indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The whole thought of adoption is that we have been placed in the family of God with all the legal rights that come with that title. How do I know that's true? Because I know the judgment of God will stand for eternity. We'll close with where we started, Psalm 119, verse 7. This is why the psalmist can say what he says here. Psalm 119, verse 7. I will grumble against all of your harsh rules. When I don't like them and I don't understand them, I will mumble and complain because you tell me what to do all the time and I just want to live my own life. That's how a lot of God's people respond to the authority of the Word of God. I know, because I often have to point them to what the Bible says, and these are some of the responses. It's not joy. And you know why? It's because they do not understand that for the child of God who lives by faith, His Word is our protection, our provision. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Can you praise the Lord for God's Word this evening? May the Lord truly make this our attitude toward His Word.